Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
From bone broth to vegetable stock, these are the everyday hero ingredients that pack a really hearty punch in things like homemade soups and sauces and stews. And for many people, they like the ritual of the chopping and the simmering and the soaking up all of the delicious aromas. Chef Brian McDermott is here. So stocks and broths have made it onto your hero ingredient list.
Yeah, and I don't know why I didn't start with them, Claire, because I remember specifically one thing growing up, that smell, that stock pot on the go and getting fed out of it for multiple days. And you were thinking, is it an endless pot? And of course it was, because we all know soups and stocks are better on the second day. They got yielded back up, they reduced down, and ultimately all my mother was doing was adding water back into it. And then fast forward 20 years, I went to college and it was literally drilled into us that you will go far if you understand the basics of stocks and broths, because they are 50% of the way there with soups, sauces, casseroles and stews, the main homestead cooking really that should take place at this time of year.
So what is the scale of difference between using a stock cube or a stock pot and a homemade stock?
Yeah, look, you know, time is the big thing here. And I know people are going to say, hang on, you're saying 4 hours for a chicken stock. But my argument on this will be that that slow cooker that we've often talked about is lying 90% of the time doing nothing. Mm-hmm. We now understand that it is fairly efficient in terms of plugging it in. So it's great for getting your stocks done. I would suggest that have a go once, because once you have a go once, you will see the quality, you will taste the quality, and freeze them after that, because we're talking here about, you're talking really 4 to 5 litres, and you're talking about batch cooking. This is batch cooking of a stock that's going to make that proper cooking for you for the rest of your days at home. And you can freeze it. It freezes very well. Now, I'm not going to say to you the obvious, put it into ice cube trays and all of that. We know all that stuff now. We hear it every day of the week on the radio and on television. But what I would say is, when you do make the stock and you do slightly reduce it by boiling it further, then you're into going down into your bouillons and becoming gels, which are the commercial products that we see out there. They're in your press, Claire. I know they are.
Oh,
the stock cubes.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, which ones to go for if you think you're in a hurry. Firstly, what is the role of stock? Stock is there to assist and give base and body to the mainstream flavour of all of what we're making in soups, stews, casseroles and gravies and so on. So if you want it to be 50% of the flavour, then it needs to be damn good. You won't get that in a stock cube. Arguably, you'll get a little background flavour that is distorted by high levels of salt, because too often you turn around the back, you're going to read the first ingredient. First or second ingredient in certain brands is going to be salt. Mm-hmm. That is not chicken stock to me. That is salted stock with a chicken flavour in the background. So that will be my case today, to have a go at proper homemade stocks.
Yeah, and you do feel really virtuous when you have it all in the freezer stacked up, and then you can just take one out when you need it, and you do get a very different flavour depth to what you're cooking.
There is something reassuring knowing you have a stock in the freezer, and it might be the smallest container that you might never find, because when you reduce it back down, it is so pungent and powerful afterwards because you're yielding it back up again. But also don't underestimate the power and smell and homely feeling of your kitchen when you produce your first ever stock, because no candle at Christmas will give you them smells. The conversation, the neighbours will nearly be talking, because you're filled with sweetness of onion almost caramelising. You've got root vegetables that are bringing out their sweetness. You've got this bone smell going on. You've got fat going on, and you're warmed and sucked into it, and it makes you feel good, and you haven't even actually tasted it or used it yet.
So now you've taken us into the recipe really for a good stock. So let's say we've had at the weekend a roast chicken. Mm. So before you put the chicken carcass into the brown bin or your food waste bin, stop.
Yeah, I would be very mindful that when you are doing a roast chicken in particular, because, you know, a lot of the time we could learn a lot from the Asian community, who know how to go in and get every little bit of meat out and off that carcass, how to put it into, whether it's spring rolls, into wraps. You know, it's so powerful to go in and get all the meat, because that's what you're paying for. Ultimately, what's left behind has already been roasted. So what happens when we roast? We increase the caramelization. It's like toast better than bread. The sweetness, it develops more. So we're allowing the oven to give us that real nutty, buttery caramelization of a roast chicken, because a boiled chicken old days tasted okay. A roast chicken tastes amazing. It's the same chicken, it's just the cooking method. That carcass retains a lot of that. Get it into your big stock pot. If you don't have a big stock pot, it is a great investment. It's just a large pot, the largest one that'll fit on your hob at home. Get the carcass in, get in peppercorns, and on this occasion I'm going to say about 5 peppercorns. Black or white? White is milder. Black will give you more pungent, warm the esophagus in the stock as you're tasting it. Get in some vegetables. You're talking here about celery, leeks, carrots, onion, and the herbs are essential. I could come on here and say, Claire, oh, you need a bouquet garni. We'll lose people. A bouquet garni, strip it back. It is just bay leaf, and it is just a bit of fresh thyme and stalks of parsley. My mother used to go out, rip the parsley off the pot at the back door and plunge it right into that stock pot. It's simmered on the very top, but you cover it all with cold water. You bring it to the boil. This is essential with any stock or broth. Bring it to the boil, then simmer. And for the likes of a chicken, you are talking 3 to 4 hours. So we mentioned the slow cooker. I'm in a pot here. Could you transfer it over and onto slow cooker? Absolutely, but do it with little agitation. Do not stir stocks. Do not go in and plunge them up because
why?
You'll make them cloudy. If they get cloudy, they're not clear. They're not great in soups. They're not great in sauces.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
start to take in a little bit of the
that's
kind of...
That's what I was doing wrong. I was
gelling
too much
fat.
Of a stir.
Yeah, definitely don't agitate.
If you wanted to make a vegetarian version, you're just leaving out the carcass of the chicken or the bones, whatever you're using, and just load it with veg. Is that what you should do?
Yeah, and to me, that is your introductory, is a nice veg stock. Very versatile, quick to make. We're only talking here about 1.5 to 2 hours after boil, just to simmer it. Now, when you strain any stock, it's through a sieve or a muslim if you have it. A muslim and a sieve is perfect. Take your ladle, spoon it out into another pot. You have a beautiful stock that is warm and is ready to use. And always, always sieve it when it's warm. But let's say you wanted to just get that into the freezer. Reduce it by half. And you're thinking, why do that? Because what you're doing is you're taking that stock to, you know, those commercial stock pots are like jellies.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to end up with.
So you
when
just
you reduce
have more
it by half.
More intense flavour.
Yeah, so then when you add it back in when you're cooking at a later stage, then you're yielding that back up. And that might be with water, it might be with wine. If it's a sauce, it depends exactly on what you're making.
Okay, what's the difference then between stock and broth?
So a stock is basically where you use the carcass that we've just explained.
Yeah.
A broth is, and I specifically remember this one, where my mother got the bone from the butchers that had clingings of meat onto it. So a broth will have some of that meat that will slowly fall apart in the cooking process. You'll get these shreds. Nowadays, we might say it's like a pulled beef or a pulled chicken. It's not. It's just shreds starting to fall off that bone. That bone contained the marrow. That marrow is a high collagen content. That is what we're after with stocks and with broths. And that's the difference in a broth, because why might me and you be sitting in a coffee shop in a month's time, Claire, and we might be ordering a bone broth instead of a coffee, because that is where it's going. That's where the trend is. And it is now the time for broth. And that is why I think I am championing it so loudly today here.
OK, and there's fish stock as well.
Yeah, fish stock, subtle, gentle, needs a bit of care, is specific for cooking. Do I have it in my freezer? Nope, because it takes only 20 minutes to make. When I make it, living up in Moville and Greencastle, we're a fishing village. If I get white fish bones, then perfect. I'll say, let's make a little bit of fish stock. I'll tend to use it for fish pie, chowder, not much more, if I'm honest with you, Claire. So you know,
only seafood dishes, really?
Yes, very specifically only for that purpose. But, you know, the thing about them being 20 minutes is they're so subtle, the little fish bones and the white fish bones. They release that nice sort of, again, little bit of collagen that is in there. Collagen protein, you know, that me and you are going to find in our joints and in our cartilages. And that's why it is going to help us with repair. Insulate us as well for this time of year is a good bone broth stock. But ultimately, its purpose is to give you the end result in anything that you're going to
make. And what's this little secret ingredient you add, the star anise? Why do you do that?
Sometimes, because I do think that introductory of a veg stock, it's very subtle. And it, like, for example, I have a lovely soup recipe that I'm giving today, which is red lentils. Love it. Vibrancy and colour. Take them out of the store cupboard. Bring them alive. Soak them. They open up. And then you start to sweat them. The onion, maybe, you know, not vegetarian, but if you want to go towards adding a little bit of smoked bacon, things like that, all of a sudden you need a veg stock, because you don't want, with the likes of a bacon and something, too much of the chicken coming in. You want a subtle stock. So a star anise in that stock can just change it dramatically and elevate it into something sensational for home cooking.
Okay, now you've given us a couple of recipes. Just run us through what you have there on the website today.
Yeah, we've put in a cottage pie. Why? What you need is essential for a cottage pie. You need a damn good beef stock. And the one we didn't mention with the beef stock is that you roast the bone specifically. Why? Back to the toast, and think of it like that, heat attacking it, the same as the roast chicken, get out all the flavours, start to render down that fat, release it, get the bone marrow out. So this one with the cottage pie, to me, it relies on a essential homemade, good quality beef stock. We have chowders there for the fish stock. We have soups. There's about six recipes in general. More importantly, Claire, we have a homemade recipe for every one of the stocks we have just discussed.
Okay, all there on the website. That's rte.ie/todaycb. Brian, you're great. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Chef Brian McDermott.